Hi, welcome to HQAF Productions. My name's Francis. And today, I have a special guest with me. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alex, and I'm Francis's younger sister.
Yes, and
today, first time.
It's her first time on the show, and she will be joining us for an episode of Casual Conversations, where we don't know shit about what we're talking about, but we're just gonna...
We're just gonna go and talk. Is that the right term?
Free ball. But like wearing no underwear.
Spitballing, I think that's what I don't know.
Yeah, I think spitballing it.
Anyways.
Yeah, improvising. You can tell that she has never done this before. She's inexperienced in the ways of the podcast. But I've had almost a year now.
It's okay. It's
almost a year. Yeah.
And you've got what to show for? Just joking.
Wow. My many listeners out there. How dare you? So I guess I did want to start off with earlier today we were talking about the amount of disease that you have.
Shut up! No.
Just
supposed disease.
Medical
ailment. It's not disease as much as it is just things I inherited from our parents.
Do you feel like you got the short end of the straw in the genetic pool? Like, what did I have? I have, like, bad eyesight.
I mean...
I'm gay, I guess. I don't know if that's... That's not a medical ailment.
That's not a medical
that's
ailment.
Like,
no.
That's a hardship in life.
Well, technically, you could blame mom and papa in
a
sense. Maybe it's genetic, remember? We have all those gays on mom's side and then on papa's side, too. But they're like, no, it's not our fault.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not your fault that you're...
Well, you got some of them. Remember, so we were born with holes on one side of our head near our ears. And apparently, remember Donica said that was like most people don't have it because genetically, what did she say? It was like people evolved to not have it.
Oh, it's
remember?
Like an evolution trait. Like people that have the tails. Like
yeah.
Tails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are other people that have it because even Max...
Yeah. They're called, like, vestiges or something?
Vestigial?
Like
vestigial? Yeah. Because even Max has a little small hole there.
Oh,
but
does he?
It's not like us. So we had ours, and when we were babies, they became infected all the time and got all pussy.
Yeah. They would smell really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that doesn't happen, so we don't smell.
But
that.
Our parents don't have that.
No, I don't think so.
And I don't know if any of our relatives do.
I think they do. I think that's what mom said, that some of our cousins do, but... She has a lot of siblings. We have a really good sample size for genetic diseases.
But you know, we're like bringing it back then.
No, I don't.
That's what that is. Like, right? Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We're really just kind of enriching the gene pool
with
cool,
vestigial
new traits.
You want a hole in the side of your head, kid? Yeah.
Come breed with us and and you'll have that. Your kids will, at least.
I guess me and Max will technically, because he has that.
Does he have it on his right side?
It's on.
Wait, is it, what side is it on you?
I don't, it was on, they closed mine because mine got infected so much that it had to get closed. I don't think she told you that.
No,
yours
mine
didn't
is
get
still
in,
here.
Yours, yeah, yours didn't get infected as bad. But mom was like, yeah, the doc, I always went in for doctor's appointments because it kept getting infected and swollen. They're like, you beating your child? So,
are you beating your child? Is that why she keeps getting infections?
Well, no, they didn't know at first that this was a genetic thing. Huh. So when the mom finally told, because it just kept getting infected and red and swollen.
Mm.
So they thought that mom was doing something to me is what she said. But then when she revealed like, no, you know, my son had the same thing. My relatives had the same thing. They looked more into it and realized that it was just it getting infected all the time. Because yours didn't get infected as much as what mom said.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But
I
guess.
Because I know you can get like, I guess, I remember mom saying that you could sew it up.
Ew.
And like it'll close.
Ew.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens
to
yours, I think.
Yeah. They had to because it was all nasty. I think technically, though, going back to if I got the short end of the stick, I think internally maybe a little bit, but Donica externally, our sister.
Externally?
Mentally, maybe. Oh. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, okay,
there's a lot to unpack here. I wonder if Donica will listen.
No. Well, you know, you're calling me out on my stuff. Well, she can't defend herself. You're right.
I didn't call you out. I just
you're
saying,
calling
but
me
I
out.
I was just like, you have all these things.
What
you don't deny. So
what's wrong with me? You're saying there's something wrong with me?
Just you have tinnitus.
Well, that's like, that's all in one package.
You have vertigo.
The tinnitus is linked with the vertigo, linked with the potential for hearing loss.
Bad eyesight.
You also have bad eyesight, but mine was the worst.
Yeah.
But that's fixed now, so that's okay. That's about it, right?
I guess. And what else do you have?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the future. I think that's it. Is that it? You're making me worried. You're going to turn me into a hypochondriac.
There you go. Hypochondria is another one.
Well, see, for Donica, you know how, like, Papa's side of the family kind of stays, like, big?
Oh, yeah.
Donica.
Yeah.
But Mom's always, like, she gets that from Papa.
Yeah, like, our dad's side is, they're intelligent, they're smart, they're kind of quiet folk. But they, in terms of body shape, they're a little bit on the larger side. My dad being, like, our dad is still pretty kind of fit, I guess, but like he does have a certain rotundness about him.
They retain weight more easily.
Especially if he doesn't work out.
But even for Donica, and she admits this too, so she can't, you can't blame me. You're open about this, Donica, where she gets, our dad has, in the same thing with our aunt, his sister, they have that tendency to have like, not hair loss, they just have like thin looking hair. So that's why Donica uses the Nioxin, and Donica gets that too. Like, you can see their scalp through the hairline a lot more easily. So I think externally, tactically, Papa, you know, messed her up a little bit. Whereas, you know, we're from Mom's side, so we look great on the outside, but on the inside.
Our mom's side is like, they're the partiers.
They're the partiers.
They're social.
Well, my mom's like, and the Philippines, we were always the beautiful sisters. The Guevaras were all known around our city for being beautiful. And she's like one of how many?
She's like
14?
12?
Okay, still alive.
No, and they're more social, I guess.
Yeah,
and
they're social.
They're not on the intelligent side like my parents are. Like, my dad is an engineer. Our aunt, his sister, is
a doctor.
She's
trying to be a politician now.
Yeah. Our grandfather on his side
owned several businesses.
Yeah.
He was an entrepreneur.
Yeah. My mom's side's just numerous. Like,
they have a lot
of kids.
They're nice people,
but
they also just party a lot. But they're also, I mean, technically she's right. They're all really good looking.
Yeah.
They're all like really pretty people. They're just not like the...
So, I mean, like, you might have all these diseases, but at least you have that.
At least I have mom's looks.
There you go.
That's what she always says. She's like, I'm glad you and Francis, you guys got your looks from me. I don't know about Donica. I'm like, damn, Mom. I'm like,
geez. I don't know where she came from.
Mom threw, she loves Papa, but she throws shade at him a lot. I'm like, oh my God. But she'll go, he's the love of my life, but... You know, at first when I started dating him, I was like, I would never date someone like him.
He's not ugly.
He's not. She would always say he was hot when he was younger, but he was too short. And then when she would talk...
All Filipinos are short. Like, well, I guess she was like in a Navy base.
Well, for her, she said that when she was younger, before Papa started dating her, she was actually like courted by a prominent basketball player in their town. Where he was like a professional basketball player.
Was he Filipino?
Yeah, he was Filipino. But he would always come over to the mom was working at a little convenience store shop thing with her, with grandma, with one of our aunts. No, with one of my grandma's sisters.
Uh-huh.
And he would come to the store all the time and like try to, you know,
was
get
he,
in there.
Was he tall?
Yeah, that's what mom said.
Because you know, like, Filipinos are not tall, so... So I was like, okay, cool. Filipino basketball player means what to me?
Means tall. That's one of the things she said, that she thought that she would never date Papa because he was too short. But then I think, I don't know what had happened. Did she ever tell you, though, regarding our parents? They had, so I recently got married and she was telling me about how, I don't know, you know, you always have to talk to your parents about who you're marrying, the legitimacy of the marriage, how you feel, all this stuff. Because for my parents, since I'm the baby and I'm the first getting married, they just wanted to make sure that I was doing it for the right reasons. Not that they doubted anything. My parents just tend to be the type to question things all the time.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for the sake of questioning things. So it's not in a malicious way. She just was. And I had to go back and tell my mom, like, listen, you're the one who told me the story about how the way you got married to Papa was that you told your dad that you were going to City Hall to get your birth certificate to become a Japanese pop star.
What?
That's, yes, that's what I'm saying. I was like, why is that? And she's like, no, yeah, in the Philippines, that was like a thing where a lot of girls wanted to become like just pop stars. I don't know why in Japan. You know, but you did, maybe that's just like a South Asian.
Hold on. So you going to the City Hall to get her birth certificate.
I don't know.
Like how does your birth certificate equate to Japanese pop?
I don't know.
Like where did the two connect?
I don't know. I didn't question. The whole entire thing didn't make any sense to me.
Your story has like a big hole in it.
Maybe you need it for like birth records to get like maybe for your profile or something or legit. I have no. Don't ask me that's mom's story. And the funny thing is when I brought that up, she just like laughed to herself. She's like, because she knew that was right. Mom, jeez.
So, speaking about being married, I know Alana would want to hear about how married life is going for you now that you're, what is it, like a month and a half in? Half a month into being married to your husband, Max?
A little bit over a month. I don't know. I don't know. I like it. I think it's been great.
Has anything changed?
That's what people are asking. Like, so how does it feel? And I feel like it doesn't feel different. I don't know if it's supposed to, like for you, your fiance, Chris, he said that it should feel different, but I don't really know why.
Like Alana, when she got married, it was a big transition for her because she had to move. She moved in with Harley after that.
Oh.
And they had like, yeah. So it was kind of like a huge shift from like living apart to living together.
Yeah.
But you and Max have already been living together kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in the context that I was talking to Chris about it, I was thinking more, I think we were talking about it more relationship wise where I don't really know what's necessarily supposed to change, or at least for me, I guess it didn't really feel like it changed a lot because I've already known Max right now at this point for about 10 years. I've known him since my junior year in high school, albeit very far away, but still I've known him for that long. We talked really intimately, which is a great way to know each other. It's like you don't necessarily see them all the time, but if you're spending so much time just talking, you can't really hang out. You spend a lot of time getting to know each other.
Right.
So I've known him really well for 10 years, and then we lived together already prior to getting married for about 3 years, because this would have been our third anniversary on our wedding day.
Right.
So we've lived together for that long. And so I feel like we've just come to this really stable part in our relationship as a whole, where now all the time, I just feel like he's just my like best friend. I feel like all we did was add that. Well, we also have a really, really objective view on marriage in general. So I think that's one thing that made the whole idea of the relationship changing.
What do you mean by objective?
Like for us, we never thought that it's not like a big, for mom, I think she had this idea of it being this big, huge, romantic thing, event, or whether it be like a physical event or an event in one's life.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, since the beginning, we kind of always talked about it being something of a practical matter,
right?
Where of course you do the whole union. Obviously it's supposed to be a romantic thing where you're marrying. It's a union. But for us, we saw it, at least for you guys, we did it more timing wise. We were going to wait longer, but now we're trying to join the Air Force.
Right.
So in a practical sense, it's to keep our files together. They might station us together, but also just
So you had a more practical view.
Yeah, it was more kind of associating our files together, even outside of the military, just literally associating our lives together financially. And
I mean, yeah, now you guys can be in each other's insurance.
Yeah, now
I have attorney, power of attorney.
On the dark end, and medical power of attorney, if you want to kill me, you now have the right to.
Now,
my brother and sister.
Now you can inherit all of his stuff when he dies.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm just like, make sure you put out a life insurance.
I mean, so that is like another big change that like you haven't gone through yet, but you're about to, is like joining the military.
Mm.
I mean, do you think that that's going to change your relationship any?
We've talked about that. And the weird thing is, I think he thinks that I'm not ready for it, that, or he's just trying to mask that he's not. I'm so used to the military idea. And then at the same time, mentally, I feel like I'm prepared for that distance as far as our relationship being long distance for a very, very, very long time. Granted, we're married now, so it's a little bit different. Obviously, I have the preference to be with him. But I think that we both talked about this where we know right now we've gotten really comfortable of seeing each other every single day. Like, he is the only person in the whole entire world that I can be with 24/7. And it wouldn't, I just wouldn't, he wouldn't get on my nerves. I would be able to just be around him all the time and I wouldn't give a shit. I would love it still. Like, even say for Donica, who's my sister, I'd be like, I need, give me some space, woman, you know?
Yeah.
But I know we've had that luxury for so long, but I can't hold on to that right now. I'm young, and we both agreed, like, for the long term, it would be better if we do what we can now to secure our future and kind of get through the nitty-gritty now while we're young.
Yeah.
So we were both in that same mindset, but Max, almost every night, or at least twice a week, we'll be like, right before bed, he'll go like, Alex, are you sure you want to join the military? Are you sure you're ready to be separated for what could be 3 or 4 years? And I keep, every single time, I'm like, yes, stop asking me. Like, the more you bring it up, the more depressing it sounds.
Yeah.
But he's the one who brings it up. So I'm wondering, maybe he's the one who's worried more.
Yeah, it is a big culture shift in general, like just going from civilian life to military life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, it's a part of it is like getting used to the culture, and then another part of it is like, if you're married, getting used to what could be a long distance relationship. Those are two, like, two huge changes to have to go through at once.
I think what might be a decent segue for me, though, as far as transitioning into that lifestyle, is I've seen our parents do it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that I feel secure in that. I don't feel as, again, I don't know what Max's take on it is, how he really feels about it, but he's the one who keeps asking me, and I'm not second guessing any of these decisions. I know that this is what I want to do. I feel secure in our relationship that, you know, nothing's going to happen if we're separated for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that comfort where I don't even have to really think twice about it is because I've seen mom and papa go through that successfully. And I would say that they're still in a really, really good marriage.
Yeah, the mom wasn't in the military.
She wasn't, but you know how papa, because he was in the Navy, he was gone all the time.
Yeah, he was gone for like, was it like 4 years? Or no, maybe two or three years.
I think it was like...
when we were in Washington.
Yeah. I think it was...
Two,
he would come back periodically, but maybe that was for vacations.
Yeah.
I just remember a big chunk of our life, he was gone in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then even before I was born, Papa would still travel out on the ships because he was in the Navy.
Yeah.
So at least then they had limited contact. As far as being in the Air Force goes, and as far as technology now goes, because I remember it was more letter writing and stuff back then.
Yeah, yeah, long distance phone calls.
Back in the 1990s.
You had to buy like, what was it, those phone cards?
Yeah, the prepaid phone cards or something. Whereas for me and Max, we're so used to doing Skyping and stuff, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Whereas for Max, I think maybe, I can't speak for him, but at the same time, he's the one who keeps asking. I'm used to it. I have the idea that it would work out. I've seen it work out for my parents. And I feel like for him, he's always been a very private person. And it's always been really hard to get close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very closed off. Like, you can see, not in a bad way, but you can see him when he's at, when we were hanging out with your friends yesterday, he was on his phone. He was kind of like to himself.
Yeah.
If he doesn't really feel like associating with someone, he really won't make the effort to.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign for you, though. He likes you. You know, it's obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can see that he makes that effort. So for me, it took me a long time to kind of get into that inner circle. We clicked from the beginning, but as far as getting that close to the point where he used to say that he would never marry anyone and that he would never really be in a really, when we were just friends, that's what he would say. And look, he chose to marry me. So
this is like a rehash of Alex's wedding speech.
But that's literally what had happened though. But I really can't speak for him, but I think that since he's not used to being so close to someone, I'm hoping, maybe because that's a good sign for him, for me, that he likes me that much or loves me that much.
Yeah.
I would hope so because we're married. But I'm not sure how he would take it, because he's not even necessarily as close to his family, but it's the same thing with me where he's told me, you know, I usually can't stand being around people for that long, but we've lived together, we've been together all the time, and it's just worked out. So
I think like the cornerstone is just having good communication and just reassuring him through his insecurities.
Oh yeah, I don't know if he's insecure.
You can always place your trust in me, you know, like, just something, saying something like that goes a long way, you know?
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to ask me on my own podcast?
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that Alana and I talk about our relationships, our friendship, our relationships being with like Harley and Chris. So, you know, like our audience already knows, but feel free to rehash those. Our audience already knows everything about me.
Let me dig deep and bring up some dirt. No, I'm just joking.
No, feel free. For like the personal dirt.
No.
I don't know.
Which
I
would know, because, you know, I'm his sister. Yeah. I know everything. Well, for those of you who don't know, it's going to be my brother's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up soon. And they have I guess you just want to be in season with October. That's why you want to do the 80s party thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, so I've been feeling Halloween since maybe a couple months ago. Like,
that's too early. Oh my god.
Know,
you're one of those
like,
people.
But you know,
feels
like I've been thinking about my birthday, and it's like I really want to do something.
How full
Halloween.
Of yourself. You're thinking of your birthday 2 months in advance.
We talked about, so like we were planning the bachelor party 2 months ago.
Oh yeah, that's right. Actually
right.
Associating. So he's having his bachelor party literally the day after his birthday. For some reason in my mind, I keep associating his bachelor party as a birthday party, but it's a bachelor party.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it could be a joint thing, like a combo thing, but whatever. So
that means I just need to buy one gift.
But, so we've been planning the bachelor party in August. Chris and I were going to do a joint bachelor party. Like if they were going to be separate, then combine into like one dance party at the end.
I think that would be cute though. That sounds like a cute idea.
T wasn't able to make it that day.
Who
so
cares?
I was like,
that's one person.
Yeah. But I was
it's
like,
your
I want to be there. And you know, like I like this idea a lot better because I want to celebrate Halloween. Like I've had Halloween on the mind. And it's like, what a great idea just to do it. I've never been in a group costume before. I want to do like a haunted house. I've been trying to watch some scary movies.
We should watch spooky stuff together.
I saw The Conjuring.
I thought it was pretty good.
The new nun one. That one wasn't so good.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I've never really watched any of The Conjuring series. Because, I don't know.
I hear the first one's really good.
Yeah. I liked how The Conjuring was. And then that was the first Conjuring movie that I saw. Because we were planning on seeing The Nun together with Max's family.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, let's start the day with something spooky to prepare you guys. Like, that's how his mom's like, that'll be so fun. So.
Oh, for your wedding?
No, before we saw The Nun. Like, literally before we saw The Nun, we watched The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. Like, sequentially, all the scenes, all the spooks. But then in The Nun, all the spooks were really redundant.
Yeah, you saw The Nun?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
saw it too, right?
It was like, so it started off as a horror flick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of transitioned into Indiana Jones.
Oh my god,
yeah,
no, I didn't
right?
think about
like,
that. You're
yeah,
so
it was
right.
So weird.
You're
you
so
know?
Right.
Yeah.
Let me find the Holy Grail. Just kidding. It's Jesus' blood. And, but the thing is, like, even this, because I like getting spooked.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else, I think it's fun. I hate getting spooked by myself, but I like it. Like, the jump scares, it's fun. It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
But all that happened in The Nun, and it's not really a spoiler for any of you guys if you haven't seen it, is this, I mean, they all have the jump scares. All of those things always have jump scares.
Yeah.
But it's just, someone's in the distance. You don't know who they are. They're standing there. I get that's supposed to be creepy.
Yeah.
But that's like half of the 75% of the scares is someone standing in the distance following you and they disappear.
Yeah, it's like, it's very cliche. Like the horror elements that they incorporate are cliche.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of transition. Like they added this Frenchie for like comic effect.
Uh-huh.
But it was supposed to be a horror movie, you know? Like, and so then you just kind of shift the whole mood from horror to action flick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Made no sense.
Well,
it was bad.
I mean, I get that it was supposed to be a prequel to everything, but...
Yeah, but you could still have a good movie.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Yeah,
it could be a little spooky. I didn't even care for the nun as a monster herself.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, why is she a nun?
Why not? What's spookier than a nun?
It was like just because it's in a convent doesn't mean the devil has to take the shape of a nun?
That's
like,
a good question. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Why did it
well,
have to be a nun?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it just be the devil?
Because they show that it had, like, its own form in that book. It's like, the whatever, the thing. And then,
yeah.
for some reason, it just decides to be a nun.
And it just continues to be a nun throughout the series.
Oh, I think it's
why?
So that it could hide to be one of them.
It but was, it was, like, a nun in the second movie, too. Which I know you haven't seen, but,
yeah.
you know, it was there.
Yeah, that's why they made the whole thing, is because she's, like, a reoccurring thing
yeah.
in the background. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
For you guys, it's still out in theaters. Not a recommended spook.
But if you guys want to, if they want to sponsor this podcast.
I know you guys, we don't think your movie is spooky, but sponsor us.
Honest reviews. but yeah, so like I've been really into just
spooked.
Scary stuff this recently, and I want to do something kind of in the spirit of Halloween. So that's
so
like,
the Village People as
the Village
your
People, but
Halloween
so
costume
we've got,
is in
like,
the spirit.
We've got the escape room, the horror themed escape room.
Oh, it's a horror
it's
theme.
It's horror themed, so it takes elements of Saw, it takes elements of
oh, they're gonna
the
put
Conjuring,
a key in my
in
eyeball.
In the scariest level. One of your teammates actually gets taken.
No!
I know.
That's
going like,
to be so weird.
Like, oh my God.
We're going to be dressed as the Village People in the escape room. The person who takes us.
I
like,
hope they have video.
Like, we're going to take the sexy cop and the rest of you. It's going to look so weird.
And then we're going to do a haunted house.
As Village People still?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're just going to, the whole day is going to start with all of us in costume.
It as just as the Village People.
Yeah.
So
and
why
then,
the Village People though? That's what that's what you said it was. I
yeah,
can't call
I'm,
them the Villagers.
That's because that's not what they're called.
Whatever.
Yeah. So because I was trying to think of a good group costume that wasn't going to be super
hard.
Yeah, like intensive, but you can still kind of go out and get. So like the Village People.
Power
just,
Rangers would be easy. They have Zentai
like,
suits for that.
Yeah, but then what are you going to do with that? Yeah, so, you know, like construction workers, what? You just need to buy a vest and a hard hat. Easy
no.
enough, right?
That's why one of your friends cheated Daniel. Since he's in the army, he chose to be the soldier guy.
Yeah.
So he could just rewear his uniform.
Yeah. And so, like, the 80s dance party was something I found last weekend with Alana. And
oh,
just
and that's
worked.
Why
it's yeah, I was like, yeah. And I know that Village People really were prominent during the disco era, but they're also active in the 80s. So it all works. It all works.
So it just fell into place like that. It's
did.
Not that you felt, like, a personal attachment to, we should just be the Village People because I dig it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's turning out to be, I'm enjoying the plan. And I want to be spooked and have a dance party.
You want to
dressed
be...
dressed as a coherent group. My first idea was like Pac-Man, and I'd be Pac-Man.
So we'd be all the ghosts,
or like a modern take on Pac-Man, where I'd just be dressed in yellow, but no one would understand.
No,
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
no one. That would be so weird. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just think that. A bachelor party should be centered around me, right? So,
obviously, it's your
and
day.
It's my birthday.
And it's your birthday, so it's like super omega your day.
Yeah.
And I just think it's funny that we're going to be going through a spook house and also an escape room dressed as 80s, what? Yeah, 80s, an 80s pop group.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun. What did you choose? What was yours?
I don't know. I was waiting for more people to list them out because I really have no preference. I don't have, like, when I went through, I looked online what the Village People look like, and I was wondering if there are outfits that I could just pull off from what I have, and I was just like, no.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, don't do the Native American, because, you know, racial sensitivities nowadays, I really don't think that's a good costume.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure none of our group is going to go as the Native American.
If Donica came, well, no, I guess
she
would
won't
still
be able
say.
To.
Because remember, they used to call her Pocahontas in elementary school.
Yeah,
I was like, she'd be the closest to be able to pulling that off, but I think it's
still wouldn't work. Yeah.
What are you going to be again? The police?
The biker.
Oh, the sexy biker. Is it going to be like a sexy biker?
Yeah.
Are you going to have like no shirt on?
Yeah.
How he has like the biker jacket?
It depends on how cold it is that day. I mean, we'll see.
Global warming. It's probably going to be warm.
Maybe I'll just buy a leather jacket. Black leather.
It should be shirtless. You should look hot.
Yeah, I know.
And then you need to have like the spikes and stuff so you look like you belong in one of those.
Chris and I have like a Halloween party the following weekend. Well, I want him to go to this Halloween party. we were talking about yesterday, like,
you can go as a biker thing, but then you remember on that thing we saw last night, the magic show, not the magic show, the magic for humans.
Yes, yes.
You can go as a pup.
No.
Did you have
we were going two separate directions there. I'm not dressing up as a dog.
So for reference, apparently in California they have a group of people.
Yeah, she's referencing
like a master.
She's referencing puppy play.
Oh yeah, that's what
puppy
it's called.
Play. Yeah, and,
but then the puppies basically dress like sexy bikers, but with masks.
Yeah, with leather. It's gonna be minus the puppy play. It'll just be leather.
It'll just be leather.
Yeah, and I want Chris to go in leather too. So we'll just be.
Oh, you guys gotta go shirtless, especially since Chris has got the hair. Then he gets to play with like the man.
He should be the puppy.
No.
Because he's hairy.
Oh, that's true.
Obviously. Yeah.
Gross. This is joking. That's so weird.
So how amped are you for my bachelor party?
Pretty amped. I have a very uneventful time right now, just chilling. And that's probably going to be one of the most eventful things, especially since it's for your birthday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of people. Inherently, I'm usually pretty introverted, so I don't like being around that much people, but Francis's event's going to be filled with fun, lots of other people to have fun with that I'll meet for the first time, I think. No, I've met everyone at this point. I think Sam's the only person I hadn't met yet.
Yeah.
And I met her the other day.
Yeah.
So
you've met everyone, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be the most eventful, most social thing I'll probably do all month.
The only thing, like, I'm maybe a little, I'm not concerned, but like, The escape room, I think, takes a certain, like, certain kind of person to kind of go into the escape room.
Yeah.
And
not everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this group is going to do in escape room.
I think Alana would have fun. I like escape room. Oh, I used to play,
Alana
like,
Alana doesn't like horror, though.
But she's the one setting this up. How does she
know?
I know.
So, like I guess this day is going to be, like, the most stressful for her, I guess, in a way. Because, like, there's going to be so many scares.
Wait, so the escape room's also going to be spooky, scary, or is it?
I thought
it was just
horror themed.
I didn't think people would, like, scare you. I thought it was just, like...
How else are you going to be taken?
It's just a scripted event. I don't know. I didn't think, you know, like, how at a...
Well, so, to be fair, I've never seen it, but so, when you go to the website, it gives... There's three different escape rooms you can do. They give you varying hardness and varying... spook levels. This one isn't the hardest, but it's the spookiest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you choose that?
Yeah.
Or? Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Poor Alana.
I know. Alana tried to sneak in, like, oh, this one looks fun. And it's like the least scary. And I'm like, no.
We've got to get the spooks on, girl.
Got to get scared.
But it's okay, because at least we'll have a big group. Because if it was just like three of us doing an escape room, yeah, it'd be a little.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be all of us together.
Yeah.
It's a big group. Well, that's perfect, though, so that we go, because sometimes they stick you with randos, and I don't want to do an escape room with randos.
Yeah. I mean, this is essentially what it's going to feel like, though, because, you know, with a team dynamic, there's always, like, with a team, there's a certain dynamic, and you get to see who's the leader and who's maybe, like, the smartest in something, and da-da-da.
Outside the box.
Yeah, when you're just kind of thrown in with a bunch of random people, and you don't know how they operate in a team usually, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Okay, so this is your first time on your show. How do you feel? How was it?
Pretty good. I mean, we usually have pretty exciting conversations.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get too deep.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to dig ourselves out of that deepness. And I think we did all right.
Yeah.
We didn't go too far.
That's true. I mean, we're probably going to have to cut out tons and tons of... That will be in the archives for later. Oh, bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
You don't do the shotgun blasts like I do?
I do, but I think for the sake of your podcast, I was able to do... Yeah, Francis gets sneeze attacks, you guys.
Yeah.
Same thing with me. It happens to me, and people will say, bless you, and then they'll stop and just be like, God damn.
What's the highest?
Eight. I know I can get eight a lot of times, because I'll count it. And then people will say, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, man, I've had up to 15.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes it's like allergies, though.
When
allergies kind of bring it on, and like you get a big whiff or something. Yeah.
Well, my husband says it's mostly my fault, because we own cats, and Francis and I are allergic to cats. So it's no wonder that we have sneeze attacks. But I like that that happens so much that we actually have kept count of our records.
One of my friends has said, you know, like when he first heard me sneeze, it's like, oh, it's because you're holding in your sneeze.
Yours don't sound like you hold it in.
And I'm like, what are you talking about right now? And he's like, yeah, I'm like, don't hold it in or else you'll lose brain cells.
What?
Like, he's literally told me that. And
I think that's
I've tried, like, you know, thinking like, okay, well, what if I am actually holding it in? And I've tried sneezing really big. And that hurts more than if I sneeze like regularly.
But do we? Okay, so
like, and it turns out to be like a huge sneeze. I'd be like,
sounds like you're just adding on to it, though. That's unnecessary. Because his sneezes are already really big. It sounds like someone's stabbing him with a knife that's serrated and ridged real big and like digging it around in there. It's like screaming.
No, it's not. It's not.
Like, have you heard mom sneeze?
No.
I'm sure you've heard it.
Maybe I have. I don't recall her sounding like a scream, though.
It does.
I mean, the way you're describing it, it sounds like a blood-curdling scream. No. Have you heard a person, like, scream before?
I mean, not like that, but it just sounds...
I think you'll hear it during the escape room.
It just sounds intense as well. It's a very intense scene. And then to add more onto that just sounds like it's dangerous for your lungs.
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying. Yeah, it's just like dangerous.
Because there's no way, the way I hear your sneezes, you don't hold it in.
Yeah,
I don't think
I hold it in either.
But anyways.
Well, thanks for joining us, Alex. Thanks for listening to us, audience. Hope that was great for our this segment of Casual Conversations. Listen to us on Apple Music. Or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at hqf.productions. And actually, I realized at the beginning I called us like HQF Productions. The name of our show is like actual HQAF Radio. Yeah.
Alana and Francis.
Yeah, high quality Alana and Francis.
Oh, okay. I was like, he's just saying things.
Yeah, Productions is our production umbrella company. Radio is this podcast.
Okay. I didn't know you have a whole empire going at this point.
We're kind of a big deal in the podcasting world. I don't know if you know that or not.
To all three people listening out there.
And don't forget, folks, the best ship to sail on is...
siblinghood!
No, friendship, actually. We practice this.